Wizard Magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 396. We're getting so close to 400. It's almost scary.
Almost.
Almost. We're a month away. So, second week of December. Dun, dun, dun. So, I'm sure we'll do something special. No, we won't.
I think we're kind of special.
We'll do. Well, we are, yes. Your mom always told you that.
Yeah.
So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat.
Brandon.
Spencer.
Mike said he's had enough of us, so... You know.
I'm surprised it took this long.
I know.
Sorry, as long as we don't have Brandon sitting in that seat, he messes up the rotation.
Oh, okay. Well, he likes the comfy seat now, although now he's in Marley's seat, so he's going to have to answer to Marley.
I don't answer to anybody.
So, I didn't see any news that I could even think of.
Didn't you see Ahoy? Announced.
Yeah. I saw that they were announcing stuff, but I actually didn't click through to actually read what they were. So tell us, Dave.
Well, one of them is a new series by Mark Russell.
Okay.
Called Billionaire Island. It's about a bunch of billionaires who have own an island.
Well, that's a dead giveaway from the title.
In international waters, and they're waiting out the end of the world. And the artist is Steve Pugh, who they did Flintstones together.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And
I know Dragonfly Man.
Yeah, that already started. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was a
the other new one. There's a. They're doing a series of Penultiman, who was in that.
Yes.
Okay, from the.
From the
cage match. What it was, because it was in the steel cage.
Yeah, okay. Steel cage, right. And the third one is, it's called Ash and Thorn, I think. And it's about...
Like Rose and Thorn? Oh, sorry.
Nope. Yeah.
We won't
It's about the hero is always young man or woman. This is... An 80-year-old grandmother has to save the world, and I forget who the creators are of that. But I think those were the only three.
Okay.
Which they're going to start like next spring or March, April.
I'm just glad they're still going. I'm glad that they're successful enough that they're still going, because I enjoy them greatly. They've been a lot of fun books. Fun company, the nice package, the whole shebang.
The whole shebang.
Yeah, so questions. We got one question, because I failed and I forgot to ask about questions. I'm sorry. Two questions. We got two questions.
I was going to say, MT knows every Wednesday we do this.
Yeah. So... Justin, long-time listener, first-time tweeter, podcast question. Why is DC going to replace their heroes, allegedly, when it worked out so well for Marvel? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
Because some... Never mind. I was going to say, people like to ice skate up there.
I hope they don't, only in the sense it didn't work out. Why would you do that?
It didn't work out when they did it at DCU.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... I don't know. I think DC does have generational heroes a little bit different, like in a way that Marvel doesn't.
That's true.
As long as you're not getting rid of them and you've kind of got the experienced heroes teaching the new, like I think you could tell a good story with that.
Well, you know what though, but you don't in the big three. You do have, Hal Jordan and then, John Stewart, Guy Gardner, Kyle Rayner, now Jessica Cruz. You had Jay Garrick to Barry Allen to Wally West, and then Bart Allen. But they had Dick Grayson for Batman for a time, and I can live with that. I think he's earned it. Wonder Woman doesn't really have...
Yeah.
And then Superman really doesn't. Unless, you know, they want to have John grow up and overnight and be Superman.
Well, he's halfway there.
Right.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I think... I don't think they're going to do it the way Marvel did it. Like, I don't think DC has any desire to not have, like, six Batman books on the shelves. And, you know, there's no way that, at least in, you know, half of those titles, Bruce Wayne's not going to be Batman, or, you know, Clark Kent's not going to be Superman.
And DC does do, like, it seems like when they do something like this, they don't do, like, what Marvel does and, like, drag it off for, like, way too long. At least whenever, like, they have a bad idea, like, they kind of go and they get through it real kind of quick into the next thing, you know? Where they're like, you know, Marvel had it for, like, you know, that lasted, like, years, like...
Yeah, I think you're right. DC is more apt to go, this isn't working,
yeah.
As opposed to Marvel saying, okay, you hate double these down. Characters, we're going to double down, yeah. And they're all going to be in, like, 8 books.
Hitting, like, these characters we're going to replace them with even new characters.
And they're all going to be weekly, but they're not going to come out every week, because you can't really plan this.
Yeah,
and they're all going to be interconnected, so if you miss one...
Yeah, but when they were doing that, that was really old Marvel. New Marvel is, you know, and 3 events every quarter, you know, in and out, in and out, in and out. And it's just nothing
even that. We have 2 events starting next week.
Yeah. So,
but what's starting next week?
Oh, what's starting next week?
Oh,
we'll get to that. But there are 2 events starting next week from Marvel. Yes.
Wow.
1 ending, 2 starting.
What was the second question?
Second question was my, this October better than last October? Yes, it was. I did run the numbers, but I don't remember them off the top of my head. But it was substantially better than last October. I'm actually... had some spectacularly crappy months. Like February, I want to say April, maybe, or June, were down big, 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 like substantial numbers. But I'm within striking distance of actually matching, you know, hitting last year's number, which is good. Not great, because last year was down from the year before, which was down from the year before, but it's hopefully I can... ebb the tide of decline, but it was nice seeing that the last 2 months have been really good, and so we're moving in the right direction.
How much of October's success was X-Men related? Like
how
big of a deal was that?
Yeah, that probably was, but still you only had 1 book a week, so in lieu of 4 or 5 X-Men books, maybe not every week, but multiple X-Men books.
So you think
it helped,
but the people who came in every week to get that book
weren't getting other things. No, I mean, that certainly helped. That certainly buoyed stuff, but I didn't order enough of those for it to make huge difference. You know, you're talking, you know, 60 copies of a $4 to $5 book. It's, yeah, nice, but, you know, $300 isn't swaying things completely. So, but yeah, so yeah, no, it was better, and so far November's been a little weird. I haven't looked total numbers yet, but Wednesdays have been a little slow, but then, like, I had a fantastic Saturday, even though I was hugely busy, which was funny. It was slow customer-wise, but everybody that came in was, like, picking up, clearing out their folders, and it was people that hadn't been in a while. So a couple $300 transactions, and
at the
end of the day, all of a sudden, you know, it was an outstanding Saturday, but really, really slow. It was like, and then I looked, it was like the average was like $80 a transaction. I'm like, well, I wish every day was like that, but busier days. But I was able to get, we finished moving the bookshelf on Friday, and then I had to move every trade over there, and I finished doing that on Saturday. Restock the half off. Trade shelf is all new stuff.
Yeah, there's some good stuff over there.
Yeah, it was a case of, as I was moving the books, it's like, well, gosh, I'm moving the hardcovers and the paperbacks. I really don't think I need both of these. So the hardcovers of everything, went, if I had the paperbacks as well, they went on the shelf. And even Ex Machina, I had the original paperbacks, the redo, the deluxe hardcovers, and then I also have the deluxe paperbacks. I'm like, I don't think I need three versions of the same story. Yeah. So I threw everything other than the most recent version on the half-off shelf. So hopefully, you know, there's lots of good stuff there. You know, most of the hardcovers are shrink-wrapped. You know, they're new, so it's good gift-giving stuff. You know, it's cheap. I just need the space, honestly. Because I want to, like, the Marvel and DC rack that we have for the newer stuff is just so stuffed because we don't have room to move the older stuff off of it onto the shelf because the shelves were all so packed. So it was just a case of making room. So it was a good way to do it. I'm glad I did it. I could barely move Saturday night and Sunday because my back was so tired from bending and twisting and moving stuff. So, yeehaw. But so that, I was able to do my Sunday goal is not to leave the sofa, and it was a little more.
That's an easy one to accomplish.
It is, but it's just nice. Not, you know, I don't want to have to run errands. You know, my goal is literally not to leave the sofa. So it was a little more enforced this time because getting up off the sofa.
That's
what
I don't want to leave the sofa. Yeah. I can't leave the sofa.
Yeah, I can with a lot of effort. But
he just has a bucket on the side.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Not that bad. But so that was good.
Yeah, he's got to get up and feed the dog.
Yeah, I raked, and then I used my, you know, the blower also has one of those sucker mulcher things for the leaves, so I got all my leaves taken care of, which was nice when the snow hit, and I put my frozen bag of leaves out at the curb. I'm like, yes, I timed that just right. I actually got the mower into the basement instead of leaving it outside.
Wow.
So I actually used my little storm cellar thing, you know, so that was the first time I'd actually opened that door, so that was kind of cool.
There were giant spiders in there.
There probably were, but I felt very accomplished getting all that done. So the dogs were like, what are you doing? What's going on? Marley came to the basement. Harry just stood at the top of the stairs and whined. I'm like, don't come down. No, I didn't want him to come down. But so I was productive, though. But I didn't read a whole lot, sadly. I read last night most of the books for tonight to talk about. I tend to do that more and more.
That's your new favorite writer?
No, well, he had a book last week. He had I wanted to see how that the Blabliathan ended, and I was not super. It wasn't bad, but it just was one of
but
those.
But it sucked.
Well, when the big reveal is somebody you've never heard of, and you've been reading comics for 45 years, and then when it's like, you know, end of prelude, it was like, oh, that's not good. This hasn't. So, but so that's the end of the questions. Dave, why don't you kick things off?
Okay.
Don't kick Pat.
He's in the leadoff position. You leave him alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, kick Pat.
New series, Undiscovered Country.
Read that.
Yeah, I read that.
Did we all read that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That might be,
That's weird for this audience.
It is.
But I thought it was a great first issue.
I disagree.
I enjoyed it, but it's not what I expected.
No.
I expected a little bit more biting political commentary. This is more of a Trek book. They're going to go off and.
Yeah, it felt Mad Max Fury Road to me.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
But what's the story, Dave?
Story is the for some unknown reason, the United States has built a wall around its borders, closed itself off.
Oh, I can give you the real.
Closed itself off from the rest of the world. And
30 years ago. It's been 30 years.
It's 2029, right? And in the rest of the world, there's a pandemic virus named Sky that is going to end the world in 6 months.
Speaking of which, I just saw I had a news pop up saying that the bubonic plague has been, two people have come down with it in China. So Yeah.
But we have stuff that's worse now than the bubonic plague.
That could be.
Ebola
that could
is
be
way worse than.
Could be. But I did, that popped up on my newsfeed and I was like, okay. So.
Yeah. Isn't that how, what is that, Zombie World started?
Yeah. Yeah.
But just
bubonic plague's like Cheers on Netflix. Right? It's a classic. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily hold up. But,
well, they didn't say bubonic plague, they said the Black Death. But yeah. Still. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, Dave. No, continue with your plague.
They get a message from somewhere inside the United States that they have the cure, and a team decides to go in to the United States to try to find the person who sent the message.
And the rest of the world, it's what is it? It was
like two different
yeah,
groups.
Like.
Euro-African.
Yeah, Euro-African and Pan-Asian, something,
yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
So, you get the...
Like alliance and coalition or something like that.
Yeah, were they at war 30 years ago? And, you know, and that's why the U.S. shut out? Or was it... It just kind of happened overnight, and they don't really know why. But was it, you know, were the... continents joining together like that, where the countries joining into, you know, basically two countries, or maybe it's three, or whatever. But
yeah, I mean, there's still a whole Canada, Mexico, and South America over on this hemisphere.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't really touch on Canada.
Sorry.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if, because they call it America, right? So
yeah.
It could just be, is it the United States or is it North America?
They have that map at the end. I don't think they said anything for.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, you're right.
Canada
was. They whited out Canada.
Yeah.
So. See, I didn't get a chance to read the back matter stuff. Did they go through more like the history or?
A little bit.
They talk about like the history of the electronic fence that they had.
Okay.
The border fence.
So, let me be the negative Nelly on this. I thought this book was terrible. Like, the two-page spreads where it was just word balloons and on word balloons. It's like, you can have scenes like that, but don't put them across two pages. It made it so much harder to see. What is it? Camicoli's art is good, but it's all word balloons, and the panel layouts weren't good, and like just as a technical comic book, it was not done well.
I did have trouble sometimes following where the conversation had to go sometimes in a couple of those.
Yeah, there's so much exposition because especially like there's this whole scene where
to set up
where they're talking, you know. They're talking about the United States, and I literally didn't need any of that. They covered it all in the helicopter. You know, this is written by Snyder and Charles Soule, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
It feels like one wrote a scene, and then they handed it to the other guy, and they wrote the same scene again, and it was completely redundant. It was boring. They needed to get to the...
I'm not giving up my version. Well, I'm not giving up my version. We'll put them both in.
Yeah. They needed to get to the reveal in the States earlier, and... by the time they got to it, it was so underwhelming. Like, I was expecting, you know, some more, like you said, better political commentary. And instead, it's this, you know, Mad Max meets Fantasy Island or something like that. And it was just so disappointing. Just, I don't know.
I really missed that scene because I remember them shooting down the helicopter, but nobody going to plane.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, there's all the...
That would have been awesome.
What was it? Like a giant salamander thingy and like a fish that's in the desert for somewhere.
Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah. I didn't understand the shark thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So
the freaking laser shark.
Yeah. Yeah. What the buffalo in that dude's leg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so. Yeah, it was. I didn't read the back matter because I was just like, I was happy that it was over. This is the worst thing I read all week. After I finished it, I didn't want to read anything
else. You didn't
else.
Read that book.
Yeah, obviously we know what you didn't read.
Yeah, I was not a fan of Undiscovered Country.
Next book, Dragonfly and Dragonfly Man.
I did not get to that yet.
I'm sorry, Dave. I failed you.
Oh,
that's
no,
two
Colin.
Earths, right? Or other
yes. Wrong Earth.
Wrong Earth.
It's, yeah, it's the two. It's the two heroes from the wrong yeah. Earth before the switch. So it's kind of an ingenious way to do the book. It switches back and forth from Earth Omega to Earth Alpha, and the villain is Devilman in each story. So it shows like how Devilman and how, you know, fighting crime varies from Earth to Earth, because on Earth Omega, Devilman, it's very dark. He does these experiments on animals to turn them into demons, and they find him at a former sex club or something. And then in the other, on Earth Alpha, Devilman, they have to go to a kangaroo boxing match and in Baloney Island amusement park to find Devilman.
Instead of Coney Island, Baloney Island?
Yeah. So, I thought it was really good. I enjoyed that a whole bunch. How about Wonder Twins?
I read that.
Wonder Twins number 9, I think.
Yeah, number 9.
This gets into some political satire too, with refugees, mm-hmm. and we get some backstory on why Zan and Jaina came to Earth. Because their grandfather on their planet, Exor, there was xenophobia, a wave of xenophobia on their planet. He ended up sending Exorans to the Phantom Zone. And also, so they had to come to Earth because of that, to get out of that situation.
Which, is there another origin for the Wonder Twins? Because this is the first one I've ever...
I don't recall. Yeah. There might be, but I don't recall ever seeing
They've never had a comic series of their own before.
I don't...
Yeah.
I don't know if they did something on Super Friends or something.
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
So... But yeah, that was good. There's the origin of, the Philomath supercomputer thingy.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was good. He invented... He invented artificial
AI,
intelligence to solve the world's problems.
Yeah, in the '80s. Yeah.
But there kept being glitches, and then he had to put it on the shelf, and it ends up being found in the state sale by two guys, and they switch it on, and it's Kernel 86 is what it's called.
Yeah. That was good. And this one they actually let them be superheroes. Batman picks him up, which is kind of a funny scene, and he's like, well, Superman needs backup, and he's like, I'm Superman's backup, you're my backup. So,
yeah.
That was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the line of the issue was Superman, mm-hmm. when they go to this country who's trying to get the refugees out, and their guy tells Superman they're here illegally, and Superman says, well, so am I.
Yeah. And I thought it was... what's his name? Is it the guy, Zan? What's his name?
Yeah, Zan's the...
Yeah. He turns into water, and they shoot him. And then, like, the next day, he's got, like, all kinds of bruises and stuff. Though he was in his water form, he takes battle damage.
Yeah, that was a good touch, yeah.
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 So, so they're going to help try to retrieve What's-Her-Face's father from... The Phantom Zone.
Yeah. Jaina said that in the previous issue, that she knows how to get him out of there. Mm-hmm. So
it's only 3 issues left. So
yeah, a lot to wrap up with, especially introducing this computer thing in this issue. But man, he does such a good job. They've been with this book.
Yeah, it's a great book. Surprising. I would not have thought I'd ever like a Wonder Twins book, but. It's really good.
Wow. I have complete trust in Mark Russell after Flintstones,
yeah.
especially Snagglepuss.
I trusted him after Prez.
And I'll just mention real fast, I was only going to talk about 3, but I read the 3rd issue of Inferior 5. actually got through
it. Why, Dave?
Like self-flagellation.
I'm just trying to figure out. They cut six issues out of it. It's like, wow, that's...
I kind of understand what's going on now. Okay. There's five, because they're in this danger-filled air zone, and there's five kids, and there's a sixth, but the sixth one always dies. And they came there with their parents, and in this issue, one of the parents always disappears, and in this issue, one of the parents is now Tasmanian Devil. The villain, Tasmanian Devil, okay. He's looking for his kid. It still doesn't make any sense. And
I was picturing a Looney Tunes character.
Yeah. No, it's the classic. there's a classic like DC Tasmanian Devil villain, I think. But
there is now.
There is now. But I've said too much already, so let's go to Pat.
You said too much already. Infected King Shazam number one.
I read that.
I wasn't impressed by it.
Well, I'm just getting kind of confused now. What's all going on when? Because now, like, this infected stuff is leaking into the Year of the Villain stuff, and, like, Shazam's doing stuff for both now? Like, I don't...
Yeah. Essentially, it's... Shazam's going around and making trouble, and the family's trying to stop him now. And at the end, Mary gets infected. But my question is she now one of the six that the Batman who laughs, does she count as one of the secret six, or does she not count?
I don't know. And, like, did you see the one panel when, his hood fell down and, like, he was bald for some reason? Yeah. Did that confuse you? I was like, what?
Yeah.
Then I flipped through and I was like, well, you never see him without the... Without the hood on, but, like, I don't understand why he'd be bald.
Well, then, like, as Billy, he doesn't seem infected, but when he becomes Shazam...
Yeah, he just has an attitude. Yeah. Like, he's just a jerk.
But he's kind of a jerk in the comic, you know, without being infected. Yeah. So, like, is it teenage angst? Is he infected? What's the deal? So it was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't. It was unnecessary.
Yeah, I think considering like how he was in the Black Adam Year of the Villain thing, like too, like
right. Well, that's the thing. I would much rather get the actual Shazam book.
Yeah.
Then. Side books of a side book of a side book.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of what it feels like anymore. And then the other one I read was Batman.
Yeah.
Yep, I read that.
So, let me start off. I absolutely love the acetate cover on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
For people who don't know, it's... you see Bane on the cover, and then when you open it up, it's Thomas Wayne sort of like puppeting him.
Yeah, with Gotham burning.
Yeah.
So this was the fight we were all waiting for. Batman versus Bane. It's just going to be Bane. It's just going to be Batman. And then as soon as they start fighting, Catwoman joins.
Yeah.
And he throws venom-dipped batarangs at him.
Yeah, it's dipped with Gotham Girls. What is it, the super venom or whatever?
Yeah, it's...
But does he throw it at him or does he walk over and shove it in his face?
I don't remember.
I thought he threw it at him, yeah. But I could be wrong.
Because it sticks in his face.
Yeah.
And He's got it in his face for the rest of the fight. He doesn't.
Yeah, well,
I'm just happy this is a fight that Bane was in that he kept his pants on.
That's true. Yeah.
Batman would be like, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
Nobody needs to see that.
You know how much trouble we get in for the batarang? Like, we don't need it.
So what's.
Bane's main vein?
Yeah.
Got a title.
Yeah.
Nope.
I gotta do better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or worse, depending on how you look at it.
So I wasn't a huge fan of him holding him up. I'm gonna break your damn back. Like, okay, that was kind of dumb.
That's a pretty good cling, too. Like, Bane's like a good, like, 400 or 500 pounds, it looks like, you know?
Yeah, when he's fully venomed up, yeah. And, yeah. Well, no, I mean, I could see Bruce benching that.
Well, benching, but just flip over your head and then slam it into your knee.
There's a few comics where they've got Bruce Wayne, like...
Oh, yeah, doing, like...
pressing, overhead pressing, like, you know...
Look,
300-400 pounds. So
if Hulk Hogan can body slam Andre the Giant, I believe that Batman can bench press Bane.
I hate to tell you, but Andre jumped a little bit on that.
Yeah, but Andre, even Andre jumping that much, he's still got a.
He has to support it to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you know, so after Batman defeats Bane, Thomas shows up. Which obviously that's where this whole thing is headed, is Batman has to fight his father.
But
but didn't he take one to the chest?
No, he shot him.
I thought it was like the side.
Okay. Like in the midsection, like yeah. It looked like.
Yeah. Batman's been shot before him.
Yeah. But
watch it, like it's gonna end up being like The Walking Dead where he just dies, and that's the last issue of Batman we didn't know. Son of a bitch.
Wow. You didn't know just Robert Copeman has been writing under Tom King's name this entire time.
they're actually the same guy. I'm ready for this to wrap up, and it's not that I dislike Tom King's writing, but I like to see someone else step in and do something different.
Well, then again, too, like, this is weirdly getting, like, tied into the Year of the Villain stuff, and, like, you're like, so, and I know that's probably a thing, but, like, the whole Batman, like, how did Batman orchestrate all this from another universe when there was stuff happening before he, like, you know, all that stuff before the button, like, because how was he over here before the button stuff happened?
How did he get here? Because during the button,
he didn't come
here.
Yeah. Maybe it's a different version of that Thomas Wayne who also became Batman. Maybe he's the dark multiverse version of Batman. Because that's the problem.
He's got two issues to explain it.
Well, that's all three. That's this, too.
Well.
Yeah, three.
Much like Snyder before him. He may not be able to stick the landing. Good story, but maybe not being able to finish it.
Yeah.
So. Brandon?
I read Earth by Garth Ennis, which it's a children's book, but I picked it up because it was by Garth Ennis, and it was in...
Like an actual children's
book? Yeah, it is an actual children's book.
I can't imagine Garth Ennis writing an actual
children's
book.
Neither could I. Yeah. That's why I wanted to check it out. But
the F-bombs were surprising.
Yeah. So this is a it's a story about four characters who are kind of like in the primordial soup, right? So they're just kind of not single-celled, but you know, they're very early stages of life, and Earth seemingly has no like special ability. Like one of them is fast, the other one can make himself bigger, the other one can make themselves invisible so that like predators can't see them. But Earth seemingly has no purpose. So they go on to land, and when they're on land, there's this super predator, and the super predator says basically, "Hey, I'm gonna eat one of you, because I need enough strength to get over to that other island," and so they have to make a decision whether or not to, like, they have to basically pick which one of us gets to live and which one dies, and Earth, like, sacrifices himself, basically, and it's a cute little book. It is a children's book. Like, it's the kind of thing where it's a children's book that's clearly written for, like, what's a, you know, a cute story that's, like, not at all religious, which I think is his kind of point here.
About eating your friends.
Yeah. So it's...
No, watching your friends eat it.
Yeah, it's a cute book, because after Earth basically sacrifices himself for his friends. The prologue of the book or whatever, it talks about, like, you've never heard a, and they all have weird names, like, you know, the Booper and Woo and, like, things like that. And but they're like, but everybody's heard of Earth.
Yeah.
So it's a funny little joke at the end. Next thing I read, Lock and Key, Dog Days.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, so this had the funniest panel of the week, in my opinion. So in this, there's basically it starts with these three little boys, and the little boys are talking to each other, and this one little boy is saying just the most, like, ridiculous things. Like, one of the things he says, like, I wonder if his butthole smells like lunch. Mm. And they're talking about, like,
The mailman,
right? And it's like, and you read that, and you're just like, what? And it's because in Lock and Key, when you walk through doors, like, in this house, magical things happen. So the dog has gone through one of these doors, and it has put the dog basically into the body of a child. So these three kids are running around, and one of them is a dog. And at the end, they're like, well, why would you want to be a dog? And then they kind of think about it, and then they all become dogs.
Yeah, then that's all the reason why, like, you roll around and you get dirty, you don't have to do homework, and they just go, oh, the reason why you wouldn't want to be a dog, and they're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I want to be a dog.
So it was a cute little book. It wasn't what I was expecting, because Lock and Key's not normally that that cute. But and then there's a backup to that, which has no words, and it's I can't do it justice by, like, just explaining what it is. But if you're a Lock and Key fan, that was a good one. Let's see. I read No One Left to Fight, the final issue.
Okay.
So, my opinion of this book hasn't really changed. Like, the story is okay. It's been getting better. But the art is awesome, specifically the coloring. This book does nothing else looks like this book. But my problem with this book, and I don't know if that's really a problem, but, like, the book is not a miniseries.
Okay.
Not at all. Like, the last episode, like, the issue, it kind of ends on a cliffhanger. We're just, like, learning about these heroes and kind of their full relationship, because basically the two heroes, they can they basically kind of have, like, a Wonder Twins kind of ability, and you didn't know this because they've been kind of adversarial.
Mm-hmm.
They can, like, basically power up together by joining forces.
Okay.
So we learn that, and a villain from their past has kind of come back, so rather than there being no one left to fight, now there's somebody to fight. And but the story basically just kind of ends on a complete cliffhanger, and it's like, do you want to see more, you know, more of this, you know, like, let people know kind of thing. And it's just kind of like, okay, so really, I feel like this was meant to be an ongoing, but it's the kind of thing where it probably can't really be an ongoing, like, month to month, because I think they have to spend so much time on the art.
Okay.
That I'd be really surprised if this could really be, you know, 12 issues a year, maybe like 9 or 10. But I think hopefully it'll get, you know, another miniseries or like a 6th issue or something like that. But it kind of ends on it doesn't wrap up cleanly.
I was behind you in your new car this morning.
Oh.
Realized I forgot to show you.
Let's see. I feel obligated to talk about New Mutants and X-Force.
Okay. I read those.
So, let's see. New Mutants was, like, the first thing I read, and I barely remember it.
But, they kind of just hanging around, talking, making coffee, just weird stuff. Yeah. It wasn't bad, but it just, there, just a whole lot of meandering. Yeah,
and they're in space.
Well, then they decided to go, and they're like, gosh, it's good having the whole gang together again. But, you know, we're missing Sam. Well, Sam's 10 trillion light years away doing something. I think we should go get him. So they hitch a ride with the Starjammers to go get him. And then it got weird.
Well, wouldn't they just have a plant? Couldn't they just?
Well, they took the plant with them, but unfortunately, that caused problems on the Starjammer ship. It made this one guy hate them because it changed the atmosphere or something that killed plants that he had been growing.
Yeah.
Ileana got in a fight with a guy and cut off his arm, so he hated them. There's this cat lady who just hates them in general. So they get to this, like, way station, and they were going to do this heist. And so everybody was supposed to stay on the ship, and they decided, well, let's go see what's going on. And somehow they get in the middle of this heist, and the guards come, and the Starjammers kind of go, oh, too bad, guys, we're leaving you, and they take off, leaving the New Mutants to be arrested by the Shi'ar.
Yeah.
It was just really, I don't think the Starjammers would leave these kids to be arrested, you know, it just, it was kind of...
Well, the Starjammers were kind of, they told them to stay on the ship.
Yeah.
But they didn't tell them really why.
Yeah, it was, right? They yeah.
It, so... Yeah,
but it was it was just weird.
Know. This is one I'm probably not gonna read the next issue of, but
yeah, because mutants in space, I don't know.
Yeah, and then and the other thing is I don't know the New Mutants. Like most of these characters, like I know their names.
But okay,
like,
yeah,
I don't really like.
Yeah,
I don't have any affinity for them. And then, but X-Force
was interesting. I don't know that Tom Cassidy or whatever. I know of him vaguely, but that was very interesting. Where he's the protector of Krakoa,
and the big plot point in this is, which was kind of weird to me. So through those whole Hawks and Pox and X-Men number one, like you get the impression that like the X-Men are completely safe on Krakoa, and that it's like impenetrable with magic, and it's, you know, mutants, full of mutants and all this stuff. And in this issue of X-Force, these does it ever say who they are?
Not really.
Like I kind of thought for a second they were like Reavers, but they're not really. Like,
yeah,
they're on a plane. They've got these like weird like
they have some of Domino's
or like.
Yeah, I felt it was like Domino's skin, like they skinned her or something.
Something weird.
To let them bypass something, so they showed a different signature or something. Because, yeah, Domino got captured very early in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
And then these guys show up on the island.
Yeah, they parachute in right to the middle, and...
And they kill somebody.
Yeah. Did you read this one?
No, I haven't read any of the X... I only read X-Men.
Okay. They killed somebody.
Do you want me to spoil it?
Yeah,
okay, this is a big spoiler.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they shoot Professor X in the head.
Yeah. Oh, I think I remember flipping through that, seeing that.
Yeah. So we don't really see like a graphic image of him, but like
you see the helmet.
Yeah, we see the helmet on the ground with like a bullet hole through it and there's blood and so like
yeah, so it's one of those. That's a weird thing to do this early, but okay.
And it seems like Professor X is the one who's like responsible for the resurrection, at least the final step of it, of putting the conscious in.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Yeah.
And can he be brought back? Is there somebody else who can do it?
And I'm intrigued to read X-Men 2 to see if it references it.
Yeah.
So that's what I was going to ask you guys to see is like, because the way they have it, like it looks like you should read everything in this, so I didn't know how that was how that was playing out.
I'm going to... Because of this cliffhanger, going through X-Force, I was not, like, nothing in it was so great that I was like, oh, I have to pick this one up. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of thinking, okay, I'll read X-Men, and I'll read Marauders. And, like, that'll be two. But I think with X-Force, with this cliffhanger, I'm going to have to read it, at least for a while. But the thing I'm worried about is, they don't seem closely related. Like, this New Mutants are on a completely another thing. I feel like... You know, that whole story could probably be a footnote in some other book, and I'd be fine. But how closely they're going to tie together, I'm not sure. But I don't think you need to read the whole line. I'm not planning on it. It's just one or two X books every week. Like, that's too much.
And they're going to keep adding more because then Wolverine's coming out. Yeah. And that looks like a pretty good creative team. Like, I want to check out to see how that is. So.
Yeah. Well, that's something. I'll pass it to you, Spencer.
All right. real quick, I'll talk about Space Bandits. It's the last issue of that. Did you finish it, Dave?
I didn't know. Sorry about that.
Well, I mean,
not even trying anymore, Dave.
Well, no, what would happen with what you like 10 you books know? Too. What you would expect would be, you know, the girls get their revenge on their, you know, on
is the this
people.
The final issue?
Yeah, it's okay. The final issue. You know, so they get the revenge that they've been, you know, looking for throughout the whole series. But the thing here at the end of this issue,
Tim
is,
showed it to me. Oh yeah,
yeah, is that at the end you have Shucky the Bounty Hunter show up.
Oh.
So I don't know if he's trying to plan a crossover between two of his worst titles that he's put out recently, but so that was a big thing about that.
Okay.
Fantastic Four 16.
I read that.
So they're. Do you remember the name of the planet that they're on?
Ugh, I can't remember.
But basically,
no.
These people, they got a vision of whenever the Fantastic Four first became the Fantastic Four, and thought like they were gonna come and like try to take over their planet and stuff. So they like feel feared and hatred by this team, and they create their own super people to, you know, to protect them when they eventually do come over.
And they use the cosmic
rays, yeah,
to give powers to all their people.
But not everybody turns out great. A lot of them turn into these weird, like, monster freak people who were, in the previous issue, Thing gets thrown down there with them in the big fight when they first showed up. But now everybody, they were friends. Reed was able to, like, fix his communicator, and they were able to talk it through and stuff last issue. And Johnny's married to this chick who, like, you know, he seems like he's actually really into, which I feel bad because this is going to be bad for him at the end.
Then
like,
they match on this planet. They match people up for marriage.
Yeah.
And when, and you know, they, like, scan the world, and somehow when Earth somehow opened up to them, and it scanned Earth, and it found Johnny as a match for this alien girl.
But so, while all that's going on, Thing is down in this underground, like, downtown, like, underground, like, where the people are, and, like, he's just beating the crap out of, you know, everybody there, and...
Like, 500.
Yeah.
I think he said 500 monsters.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So, by the time he gets done doing that, Reed and Sue are kind of held hostage by the Seeker. Is that his name? Is the guy who basically he's able to see into the future. He's kind of like in charge of everything.
Yeah.
But they're able to escape and able to like send off the Fantastic Four signal, like the Flaming Four in the sky. So Ben sees that, and he brings the rest of the town, you know, with him and stuff like that. I mean, it seems like at least it seems like it's coming out more regularly. I think it's helping the book itself because, like, whereas the stories aren't, like, you know, they're good, but then whenever you have to wait, like, an extra month or, you know, a couple weeks for it, it really is like, oh, I had to wait for this. But I think it's been getting better. The art has been pretty good.
I did have to think for a second before I read, you know, what's going on here? Because it was a little bit of a wait.
Yeah.
And that the previous issue, they did a lot of with that super team. On,
yeah.
I forget what that team's called on that planet, but...
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Then again, well, no, we was,
it just doesn't matter.
I mean, after this story arc, we won't see them again. I mean... Yeah. Maybe a little bit. Maybe if I'm thinking, like, when they go back to Earth, maybe that chick's gonna come with them. Maybe, you know, it's just, you know, for drama.
Possible.
You know,
well, they need the rocket's destroyed.
Yeah,
so they gotta
find a way back.
Find a way back.
Amazing Spider-Man 33.
I read that.
I kind of, like, I remember some of, like, the Spider-Man 2099 stuff, but then Peter's, like, late kind of getting back to class, and one of his classmates was able to use his web tech to kind of predict, like, the outcomes of like of like small events, like he passed out these cards with like, you know, what yeah. Peter would be wearing and what he would say next and all yeah, this so other stuff.
Yeah, so he's it's like a he's giving like a presentation, and basically he can he can see into the future, basically.
But
like he sees into the multiverse, and through all these different views of the multiverse, he is
can pick
able
like
to,
the outcome or something.
Yeah,
like that.
He has like an algorithm that'll like predict what's actually going to happen. Like, what's the most likely thing to occur because of this? Like, when he knows Peter's going to be late, he can write down what Peter's going to wear and what he's going to say and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, I don't know.
That's how. That's pretty impressive for a college.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure that has something to do with why the 2099 Spider-Man is.
Yeah.
Back in
yeah.
Because
something's going
Peter
on
Parker.
With that time.
So whatever this thing is that he built, it's probably messing up the timeline.
And then they I can't remember how it ended. Wasn't it something? I thought it ended with something with Doom, but then I think that was something else.
Yeah,
read.
Something ended with Doctor Doom.
What ended with Doctor Doom?
Ben died.
What book ended with Doctor Doom?
Was it the Invisible? Do you read Invisible Woman?
It was either this or Savage Avengers.
Oh, maybe.
Did you read Savage Avengers?
No.
Okay, then it was the.
Wait, with the like assassin, like it looked like somebody's getting ready to assassinate him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody's. Some guy has, like, some weird gun with magic bullets.
Yeah, he's the hitman.
Yeah, the hitman.
Lee Harvey Oswald?
Yeah. But, so he's gonna try to assassinate Doom for some reason.
Probably because Doom 2099 probably has something to do with it, too.
I have no idea.
I never read the Doom 2099 stuff before, but.
Yeah. This book has been very. It's like it's three different books now,
yeah.
Because of this 2099 tie-in stuff. Because it's weaving into the book, okay. Like it doesn't feel like super jarring, but like the way the story is told has changed a lot. Like yeah. this before this and Absolute Carnage. Like this was a comedy book,
yeah,
really. This was a funny, fun adventure. Spider-Man book, and the like a lot of that fun has been sucked out of it by Absolute Carnage and now 2099. So I think we got to bear with this for like three or four more issues.
Yeah,
because it's like a month.
Yeah, because I don't think it's like other than the one shot, I don't think it's like I think it's only like another issue
yeah.
or two. So. I mean, I like Spider-Man 2099. Like, I've liked, like, the last couple of series that Peter David had a while ago. So, as long as they do a good job with it, I can't complain too much.
But, I like the tone previously, and I the Ryan Ottley art is...
Yeah.
Because this was not Ottley.
This was Patrick Gleason.
Yeah. So, and the art's fine. Like...
Yeah.
It's just Ryan Ottley is like, what I'm looking for in a comic book.
Yeah,
and
I feel like I feel like he hasn't been on like on the like he was in the Absolute Carnage issues, but I feel like that was almost like a waste to use
yeah.
him on that. I think he maybe just wanted to draw Carnage, like even if it wasn't actually Carnage, but like he hasn't been on the book as much as
yeah,
hoped.
Yeah, because I think it's like six. He's on six issues and then he's off. Something like that. Or
yeah.
Maybe it's not even six issues. Maybe it's like whatever the arcs end up
yeah.
being. But yeah. But when he's not there, I miss him.
Yeah. And the only other thing I was going to talk about was Justice League, but I kind of remember it, but not. Like, it was good. Like, it wasn't that it was bad. It was just.
Just don't remember.
Yeah. It was.
It happens.
I've read, like,
oh, it happens.
Yeah, which is weird because, like, I won't oh, remember a,
out,
I won't remember an issue to talk about it.
Yeah.
But as soon as I start reading the next issue,
yeah.
like it all rushes back and I know everything. Like I know what I'm very rarely like. Oh, yeah.
I blame the novel that I'm working through reading now.
Reading
but,
a
Yeah, and I
no pitchers.
Wow, no pitchers.
Don't even know who you are, man.
Hey, you sell them. You have books with no pitchers on.
I do.
You're trying to be a bookstore.
I thought those.
You're trying to get those.
I thought those were dust collectors.
So you're trying to get that.
You're good
that,
at that too.
Trying to get that Barnes and Noble discount thing going on.
Okay, I read two. One I liked. One I did not like. Daredevil number 13. This has been excellent. Chip Zdarsky.
I've been hearing a lot of good stuff about that series.
Yeah, has really been knocking this out of the park, because I just always thought of him as a jokey jokester and a goofball, and this book has been excellent. Starts off as continuing the training of Elektra, trying to kind of get Matt kind of recentered, bringing back Sticks teachings and things like that. The cop, I don't remember his name, who had been going against Daredevil the whole time,
North,
has been relieved of duty, and they took his badge and his gun, and he's kind of out on the street, and he's trying to stop a mugging. And it kind of, it wasn't a mugging, it was something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or no, somebody just ran into a homeless person, knocked
the cart over, and he's like, apologize,
yeah. And kind of has a little confrontation with them. Kingpin is dealing with ramifications of killing. He's at a dinner with, he's the mayor, and he's at a dinner with the most wealthiest, most powerful people in town. And one guy's riding him the whole time. This was last issue. And he follows Kingpin into the bathroom, and Kingpin murders him. And so then he's standing, it ends with him standing in the bathroom, covered in blood. This guy in the tub, blood everywhere. And him kind of going, what have I done? So in this issue, he calls Wesley, who's his kind of assistant, who comes and covers everything up.
His fixer.
His cleaner. And he shows up and makes everything good. They have the custodian, because he had like a cart. I'm like, in what kind of house do you have one of those carts? But they put the body in the cart. They clean it up, and it's like mostly clean. It's like, that's okay, because then he slits the guy's throat.
That whole thing, that whole sequence was unbelievable.
Yes, yes.
The pacing and and to see, I mean, was the Kingpin was actually sweating this.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable to get that side of his character. Yep.
But basically, the Kingpin, the idea is that he walked in on this guy who'd killed himself and blood everywhere, and that's how why he has blood on him. But then it ends. Oh, and then there's a scene between Libris, the mob boss lady, and the owl, where their owl's making the play to be the mob boss. But then it ends on a really cool thing where you have the cop North, who is just kind of sitting there crying, just everything, his whole life has fallen apart, and Matt walks up to him and basically says,
he's going to be a superhero.
Yeah. But I think he's also realizing now that sometimes in order to do good, you can't play by the rules.
Yeah, that was great.
But that was really, really good. I was very impressed with that issue.
Yes.
And then the last one I read was Legion of Superheroes number one.
You tripled your orders for number two after you read this, right?
No. Sadly, I ordered very few and sold half of what I ordered, which is kind of crazy. Being I had ordered three times that amount of Legion Millennium number one. The mighty has fallen. Basically, John shows up and the Legion is showing him around. And one thing that I really liked in the Wade run of Legion is every time a character appeared for the first time in the issue, it had a little balloon next to them saying their name, their superhero name, and their power, and what planet they were from. Not that it mattered, but it was one of those things. So you knew who, because there's a huge cast, so they're doing that. Well, they decided to take something, and it was somebody said it was from some other book, I don't remember that, but where it showed up to Superboy behind them so they could see their name and everything, all that info. Except the way it was drawn, we couldn't read it. So I'm like, okay, you kind of tried, but the people reading it have no idea who these characters are.
Could you read some, or was it literally
kinda,
all of them?
But it was like, if they were turned sideways, it was sideways. And you could see some, but most of it was blocked by their own body.
So was it meant for you to be able to read?
No.
Or? Okay.
No.
Because I'm wondering, this is Bendis, right?
Yeah.
Is there something, is he intentionally leaving something out?
No, not in that way. But the costumes are all different from they've been historically. Many of the characters are completely different from how they've been. Like, Karate Kid shows up early, and he looks like a Tibetan monk with the back half of the head having the hair, the entire front shaved, and a long ponytail. And he looks, you know, like he's from Tibet.
Is he still the best around?
But it's like, no, Karate Kid never looked like that because he's in outer space. He doesn't have to be Asian, but of course, Bendis had to have him Asian. And just everybody looks different. Everybody's costumes are different. So you really don't know who everybody is anymore.
He's Spasian now.
And it was just, and then I read this later, but he was trying to portray that John is dealing with all these teenagers and they're all talking at once, but nobody finishes their sentences. No thought is finished. They show him, and it really jumps around. Like, at one point, he's flying with Saturn girls flying with him, and he's touching the sky because there's, like, a dome. He's like, what is this? Next shot is all of the Legion in the dark looking at this diorama of Earth and how Earth is now just, like, these little pods, kind of, because the oceans left, and then dot, 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 and that statement was never finished. And just, it was just really disjointed, and at the end, it's like somebody in charge, and the whole planet is now the Legion headquarters. It's not just a building, it's the entire planet. And, because there's so many Legionnaires, and then there's somebody at the end going, they knew they weren't supposed to bring Superboy here, this violates the rules. And then, you know, to get you to read number two. I was so utterly disappointed in this book. It was just bad. Just, you couldn't figure out what was going on. There was no real plot. And this is the last... Well, no, the book I read last night will be the last Bendis book I ever read. So, I'll talk about that one next week. But yeah, just really disappointed. Disappointed in this. Really disappointed that DC has put so much of their future and faith in Bendis's hands, and I just don't think he's doing a good job.
But isn't Bendis's stuff like on an island?
It is, but
people complaining that the Year of the Villain,
right? Yeah, the Superman books aren't going to touch that. It's just, but I mean, they've given him Superman, they've given him Legion, and I just think he really hasn't do
a good job with one.
Yeah, so. And now the big thing is, in the next issue of Superman, he's revealing his identity to the world, and they're getting rid of Clark Kent. And Clark Kent won't exist anymore.
It's not really that hard to figure.
No, but that seems like a silly thing to get rid of.
He can just kiss somebody and they'll forget. It'll be all right.
Yeah. No, but he has a thing for, like, outing superheroes, because didn't he do it with Daredevil? Wasn't he the first, like, guy who started that thing forever ago?
Yeah. But I'm just not. This really burned me. I did not like this book at all. Everything was just off. Oh, but Rose was there.
Woo!
Of Rose and Thorn, everybody's favorite. I did not care for this book. It sold really bad.
For poop.
To give you an idea, I ordered 75 copies of Legion Millennium 1. I ordered 25 copies of Legion 1, and I sold 14.
Ooh.
So yeah, we're gonna say that was not a good launch.
And you have people who like the Legion too.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's one of those things where you just don't have like the fan base for the book.
They were there. They were there for Legion Millennium. I sold 65 Legion Millennium ones. I sold 14 Legion ones. That's a pretty substantial poop. That's a way to kill.
Kill a line
right off the bat.
I wonder. So I read Lois Lane this week, but one of the things we noticed, and I was talking to Colin about it through email, Lois Lane is not in January.
Right.
I wonder if the Superman reveal needed to happen before that issue could come out or something. Oh, okay. Like that.
That could be. Yeah, because that's a big part of it, where she... Because they've been discussing that. Yeah.
I hope Lois Lane's not going to be late, but there is no...
Yeah, but it could just be a skip. Yeah, it wasn't in the book. So
let's get the taste of Bendis out your mouth.
Yes.
What's coming out next
week? Next week. I don't know if there's any Bendis. Let's see. Okay, so event-wise, 2099 Alpha number one. I know you're excited. Everybody's excited about 2099. It seemed that way.
See you, Tim.
Absolute Carnage wraps up next week, and we get the extra Absolute Carnage Captain Marvel number one, where the cat gets taken over by a symbiote, and she has to fight it. Amazing Spider-Man 2099, or Amazing Spider-Man number 34 is a 2099 crossover. Then the second event, Spencer, I know you were waiting to hear about this, Annihilation Alpha, because we got, it's Alpha Week.
What's that one?
Annihilation, that's where they're going, Annihilus is coming.
That ties into nothing, right?
Is that, correct. Is it's that, a series of one-shots.
Is that Contagion one over, or is that the one you're
Yeah, that about? Ended. Contagion ended.
Who is anyone of note writing those?
Matthew Rosenberg is writing the whole thing.
Okay, so not really.
Harsh.
That is kind of harsh. I like Matthew Rosenberg.
But in Marvel, he's not... They haven't given him anything that matters. Not like Donny Cates.
Gave him the X-Men. He just got bullied out of it, was all.
Yeah.
I like his Punisher run.
Okay. Aquaman is an acetate cover. Batman 83, we're getting near the end. Three to go. Batman Superman is Year of the Villain with an acetate cover as well, which is interesting, more tying in Year of the Villain and Batman Who Laughs. Batman White Knight presents Von Freeze. This is a story just of Mr. Freeze. We have Big Hero 6, the series number one, which is kind of funny because the variant came out this week. Bloodshot number 3 is next week. Books of Magic New Edition. I'm glad they're getting this back into print because that was really important. Why? Siri, stop.
They're taking over, Colin.
I don't know what's going on. Stop.
First, your other robot assistant wouldn't listen.
Yeah, stop. Okay. But Books of Magic was really important with the Hellblazer, so it definitely tied in. We have Captain Marvel number 12, where big things are supposed to be happening in that book. Everybody's been excited for this. A brand new number one of a character you have not seen in ages. Oh. Deadpool number one. I know. We have Excalibur number 2 from the Dawn of X line. We have Fantastic Four 2099. Don't get so excited, Spencer. Calm down. Glow versus the Babyface. I'm only mentioning this one because it's written by AJ Mendez, who was AJ Lee, the wrestler who was married to CM Punk, writing this. So that's kind of cool. She's a comic fan and writing a wrestling comic. So that's kind of cool. Green Lantern 85 Facsimile Edition. This is the famous Speedy's a Junkie cover. Hazel and Cha-Cha Save Christmas. Tales from Umbrella Academy. So this is a little one-shot. He-Man and the Masters of the Multiverse.
Woo! I pulled that.
Where all the He-Men from all the multiverse need to stop.
All the Skeletai.
I don't remember. I don't think it's said who is going through killing all the He-Man worlds, but they have to get to the guy who becomes Skeletor before he does, and that's the one who can save them.
Keldor. Yeah, is He-Man going to be in the DC universe? Because this is a DC.
Well, he has. Right? They've done crossovers.
Yeah, Masters of the Universe versus Justice League.
Right, yep. but the multiverse. It's very much a DC thing.
Yeah, but why not throw He-Man into that?
Okay.
Well, then they would say, like, the total.
If there's 52 Earths, there's 52 Eternias.
Yeah.
Because his mother was from Earth.
What?
I have no idea.
Queen Marlena was from Earth. She was an astronaut and got stranded on Eternia.
What version is that from?
The one in the cartoon and also in the comics.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's that one.
Hey, I know some stupid shit about He-Man.
Yeah. No, I can't be a title.
Pat knows He-Man.
You are correct, sir.
Not carnally or anything.
No, well, that's between you and your God. Okay. Hearts are important next week. We have Heart Attack number one. That's from Image. And we have Heartbeat number one. And that's from Boom. One of them is about this girl who's like not one of the cool kids and accidentally witnesses one of the cool kids who turns out he's a vampire, and she sees him drinking the blood of some other kid. And
so it's Twilight?
In order to stop her...
Is that the plot of Twilight?
Maybe. You know, I never saw it.
Unless she falls in love with the vampire guy.
Well, she then gets accepted into the cool group, and even though it repulses her, it also kind of intrigues her. So she kind of joins those kids to see what's going on.
I'm pretty sure that's Twilight.
Okay, I don't know. I didn't see Twilight.
Take your word for it.
Infected Scarab next week. That's the Blue Beetle. Justice League 36. Maybe, hopefully, Spencer can figure out what happened in 35.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I'm not checking it back out. It's in a pile waiting to get bagged and board.
Marauders number 2 is next week. Metal Men number 2. Actually, I enjoyed Metal Men number 1. I had fun. Yeah. I texted Jermaine. I said, it's sad that I enjoy a Dan DiDio book more than a Brian Bendis book. Money Shot number 2. Number 1 was a lot of fun. Nightwing.
It was.
Nightwing 66 is a Year of the Villain acetate cover. Olympia number 1. This is one where a kid's loves reading the stories of his favorite superhero, and then all of a sudden one day his superhero comes through the comic and is all beat up, and he has to help him. And
never meet your heroes.
But the hero isn't the only thing that came through. Dun, dun, dun. Once in Future number 4. Question, The Deaths of Vic Sage. Very excited about this one. It's a Black Label book with art. I think it's Lemire writing it, and with art by Dennis Cowan and Bill Sienkiewicz.
What very size is it?
It's big, I think. Ugh. Rye is getting a new number 1 from Valiant. We also get Roku number 2. So set your Roku to record your Roku. Something is Killing the Children number 3. Spider-Verse number 2. Star Wars 75, the last ever issue of Star Wars.
Wow. Until
January 1st. Yeah. Supergirl 36 is Year of the Villain acetate. This is one where she is infected. Superman Pal Jimmy Olsen number 5. Teen Titans is Year of the Villain acetate cover. And that's it. And I think I counted 12 covers of Vampirella 5. Yeehaw. But that's all we got going on. So next week, a lot going on next week. Because next week is actually book club. Is on the 22nd because we had to do it a week early. So next week is book club. And then next Saturday is local comic shop day. Lots of stuff. I got to do a post about all the books that are coming out. Many are limited, which is annoying, where I'm getting one or two. Some aren't, like Walking Dead, where I ordered a boatload. The Walking Dead one is kind of neat because it is Brian K. Vaughan and Marcos Martin did a digital-only story. Basically, I think something about an alien in the Walking Dead universe that was only digital before. And then for this, they've decided to print it. So it's kind of a little coda to the whole Walking Dead thing. So I ordered a boatload of that.
The final issue of Walking Dead.
Well, the final, it doesn't take place at the end, but it's the last one that's going to come out. So,
the final issue to get printed.
To print it, yes. So I'll have more info about that. So yeah, book club is, like I said, next Friday. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Volume 1, the IDW run. Spencer specifically requested
constant,
that.
Right? That's
yes.
Yeah.
And
do you have those?
Yeah. Oh, I don't write today. I don't... By the time you're listening to this, I will.
But I'm listening to it now.
Because yeah, I didn't see it.
Well, I'm sorry, Spencer. Do you need a copy?
No, I got it.
Okay,
I
so stop your complaining.
I'm just saying, I'm listening to it now and it's not
here. Have a lot of people picked it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people are intrigued. because, you know, they remember Turtles, and it's like, oh, here's a chance to revisit.
Like Spencer's picks.
Yeah. That's what
it was. Oh, Spencer?
People really did really like Nailbiter. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm good at picking things.
Oh, I got to think, I got to order in for next week what the December book is going to be.
We already did Claws. Cows. That would have been a good one.
Did we?
No, we didn't, because I think it just came out in paperback. Yeah. I got to see. My problem is that one's going in and out of print. So I got to see if that's Krampus. Available. Yeah, we did Krampus last year.
And the year before that was the thing that talks to the dude. Happy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because right. That was timely. That was a Christmas story. Mm. The thing that talks to the dude. Okay. I'll pitch that back to Grant. You know that book where the thing that talks to the dude? Yeah.
What is it? Like a donkey or something?
It's a horse.
Yeah.
Okay.
It should have been voiced by Ice-T, but that's a whole other story.
Should have, but I thought Patton Oswalt did a fantastic job. A series that ended before its time.
It's Stabler. He goes crazy. And it's Ice-T. That would have been perfect.
Oh, we just got one last question that I'm going to... I'll address.
This is why James, you listen to the end to listen.
No, James asks, any thoughts on HBO's Watchmen? I don't have HBO, so I haven't watched it.
I am two episodes behind, but it is... The first two episodes have been really great.
That's what I've heard, but again, really I'm waiting for the bumble.
Yeah. And I'm waiting for some episodes to build up, because it seems like one of those ones is like, if you watch and like wait another week, like it might be kind of best to...
No, actually, I think it's best to wait a week and let that marinate in your head a little bit, because it's...
I've rewatched the first two episodes, because they repeat, they put them on repeat, and like there's a lot of like little Easter eggs and references to people that you didn't realize were references, and
in the second episode you get a blue dong.
I've heard.
Yeah. And but what's his name? Looking Glass.
Yeah,
Looking Glass is awesome. I love that character. So he's basically Rorschach but with a shiny head. So, but yeah, I'm really digging that.
Cool.
Yeah,
I think that's all we got.
Website to find you.
Website's PittsburghComics.com, Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. I made some changes here at the store, and we're going to keep making more changes leading up to the holidays to get freshen everything up and make things fun and exciting. So we will talk at you later. Pat!
That's a podcast.
We'll talk to you later. See ya.